You've just landed on the Coolest People in the World podcast, a show that features stories of cool people doing really cool things, from business, art, and travel to lifestyle, mental health and family, and everything in between. Join host Crystal J. Bailey as she introduces you to some of the coolest people in the world. Here's Crystal.
Welcome back to the Coolest People in the World podcast. This is your host, Crystal J. Bailey, and we are back with another exciting episode of one of the coolest people in the world, my friend Tina Notaro. Welcome, Tina.
What up, what up?
I'm so excited to have you here. As with all my guests, I'm finding the repeating conversation is you're so many things, because you are, because we have to be these days, don't we?
Yeah, it's so true.
So Tina and I are friends from the Atlantic City arts community, the worlds that we run in, and she is light and love, and so I'm very excited to have you on the show, Tina. Tell me a little bit about who Tina is.
I guess the funniest thing to start with is that I am a clown. I'm a licensed clown by the city of Atlantic City, actually. To get a license to perform on the boardwalk, clown was an option, and I figured, how could I not pick a legal identification license that says clown? But that's just kind of how I operate in the world. I'm also a juggler, special event coordinator, an artist in some ways. There's a lot of labels you can put on what I do.
Besides all the things you do, who is Tina besides all that?
I usually use my top five strengths. Something I'm obsessed with. So my top five strengths are futuristic, positivity, includer, activator, connectedness. So really, I lead with relationship building strengths. And what that means is I really get the most done by connecting people together and making them feel good.
And you do make everybody feel good. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that actually, I had forgotten about that when we spoke. The first time I interviewed Tina, she had me do the five strengths test because she likes to know who's on her team, who's in her corner, and what their strengths are and how you can collaborate together. And a master collaborator, we'll add that in there, because you are that as well in our community. So before we get into being a clown and a juggler and sidewalk karaoke leader and night rave host and beach rave host, tell me how we got here, because you weren't always this. You were working a traditional job, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
You went to Stockton University. Let's start there.
Yeah, and I'll even shout out Atlantic Cape Community College, because that's where it started for me. I'm an alumni of ACCC of Stockton University, and I was lucky enough after I graduated Stockton to find a job here in Trenton at the Board of Public Utilities. And coming here to the studio, I had to pass that building, and I was thinking, like, wow, how far I've come from being under the fluorescent lights in a 9-to-5 office, doing like cool work and getting a lot of experience, but I quickly realized that was not where I was going to do my best work. So in 2019, I left that job to basically pursue art and life in Atlantic City, where I'm not from. You know, I'm from Egg Harbor Township, but I spent a lot of time in AC growing up, and I felt a gravity pulling me there to do work. So I took a leap of faith, and so far it has been rewarding and fulfilling. And what I did once I got there was, you know, focus on networking, trying to get gigs as a juggler, because that was something, a skill I had that was a way to make money, and slowly finding my way into special event coordinating through things like the night market at Anchor Rock Club. I did a fundraiser at Beret. That was like my first kind of big event in Atlantic City. Had the crazy idea to like do a party on the beach overnight, and that's something you don't really have to convince a lot of people how cool it is. So we see a lot of people come out for that in the summertime. And working with Anchor Rock Club has really been a blessing, because I really can't imagine what I would be doing without that club right now. So
I love that. So we're going to unpack a few of these things. And I have a personal story about a beach rave. So when you were in public utilities, you said, for context, you're very young. I don't want to give away your age unless you want to.
31.
31, very young. And decided early in life, hey, this isn't working for me. But was there more of a reason? Was there any other reason you were like, you know, this just isn't really my thing. I want to go over here and do this. Could you color that in a little bit?
Yes. Well, it was the pandemic. You know, I went to college late. I'm a little bit of a late bloomer. So I took time off after high school, and then I took my time going to both community college and Stockton. And then when I was at the Board of Public Utilities, I started there right before the pandemic. After the pandemic happened, they wanted us to return to the office full-time, no work from home. And I had already decided to move back to AC. I was like, well, we're working from home. I'm going to AC. Right. So when they said, come back, and you have to like be here the whole week, I was like, well, I'm not gonna do that. Right. I'm not, you know, it's a great gig. A lot of people stay in state service because great benefits. And if you stay there long enough, you get them for the rest of your life. But that wasn't really worth it to me. I had a lot of great experience. I mean, also it was a little bit of not imposter syndrome, but like seeing how the sausage is made. And also like I was someone writing like tweets that the governor was putting out. Like
seeing
I was
how the sausage
things,
is made is a new yeah. phrase for me.
Oh, yeah. How long have you been here in Trenton? Because, yeah, that's yeah, they got their thing going on, the bureaucracy. And that's I realized how anti-bureaucracy, like how so far against everything that happens in this town I am. So I was also like, for my own integrity, had to.
So you didn't want to go back to the 9-to-5 life. You said, I need something more for my life, and I want to be around other people doing other things. What was the first step? The clown registration was the first step. What did that look like?
Yes, I think that was one of the first steps I took. I also wanted to find out what it took to get a boardwalk performer's license, because I went out to the boardwalk to start busking, and they shut me down. They're like, do you have the license? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you need the special license to be able to be out here making money. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. So if I want to be someone who's helping artists come to the city to perform and make money, I need to find out what it takes to do that. Mm-hmm. So I went through the process with City Hall. You need a background check. You need to have your performer's insurance, which was something I already had. But, you know, that's something that you pay for and they require. It was kind of an exercise in discovering the lay of the land, and also almost like a bit so that I could have an official city document that yeah. says I'm a clown.
Which not many people can say.
Yeah, truly. So that was one of the first steps.
Can I pause, actually? Mm-hmm. I do want to know the rest of this. I want to go back. What is your background in performance?
Well, I've been like connecting the dots on this stuff a lot lately, because when I was in school, like, you know, grade school, high school, I was in tech crew and stage crew. So I had this theater background. I was in the media club. I started a film fest in high school. So I had a background at a young age in the arts in that sense, and then kind of moved away from it. And after college, or kind of during college, I dated a juggler from Philadelphia. And he taught me everything I know about, not everything, but, you know, at the time, everything I knew about juggling and performing and how to make money from it. Mm. And so he would bring me in for gigs, and I learned that, wow, this is a way to make money and have fun and be, like, living an alternative lifestyle. So I think that really is where my performance experience started, was with juggling. Oh. But I've been, like, throwing parties and events for way longer than that. And it was something I didn't realize, like, because I would have birthday parties and have like a guest list and make an invitation, and there was activities, and
you don't realize what you're being prepared for. Yes, I keep saying that.
Totally, because it seemed like, I don't know, I didn't even really think about it until the last few years. Performing is kind of new, and it was almost out of necessity or just convenience of, this is a skill I have, mm-hmm. and I know I can make some money doing this while avoiding like the typical right lifestyle.
Bring it back. So you applied to be a clown. Let's talk about Nootrope, and then kind of all that is. That is your brand. That is your business.
Yeah. And I always hesitate to call it a business, because Nootrope is actually a word I invented after reading a book called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. I did a lot of audiobooks actually while I was commuting up to Trenton. So in the like 6 months where I knew I was leaving that job, I just crushed audiobooks and became smarter, stronger, wiser. So that was one of the books I'd listened to, and he talks about the noetic quality of religious, spiritual, and mystical experiences, and how a lot of times people experience this using psychedelics, but you can experience this connection to a higher truth or something that feels like real, like indescribably real. And that word is noetic. And so trope is like a motif or a recurring theme. So nootrope is the idea that we can have this connection to like something more than ourselves on a regular basis. That word really describes one thing that we do called the beach rave, which was this crazy idea where, oh my God, we live in Atlantic City. We have this beautiful beach, public beach, one of the only free beaches in the state.
Right.
Why don't we have a party out there? And it is a renegade situation. Like, I can't go too much into the details, but it was kind of a crazy thought. But when we started doing it, people started showing up to help, to enjoy, to be a part of it. And it is like one of the most psychedelic experiences you can have, simply because you're like,
what's happening?
It's on the beach at night. The moon is out there. You're looking at the the Ferris wheel and all the lights. It just feels like
it is magic.
You're on the moon or like the waves. There's something magical, yeah. And it really like epitomizes the idea of what nootrope means.
I love that. So I'll use this to I'll share with you a funny story from two summers ago. Wow, time flies.
Yes.
Two summers ago, I was in a space of trying new things, and a mutual friend had invited me to go to Firefly Music Festival. And I'm like, if you know me, I'm just kind of inching out of being a little bougie, a little extra. Like, I started camping, and I started learning the trades of camping, if you know what I mean, learning to live outside a little bit. But that's not who I am. That's not who I've been. I'm somebody who, I don't put my feet in water. I can't see my feet. But I love South Jersey and I love Atlantic City. And it's already a mystical place. It's already, when you're on the beach and you're like, wow, this is such a gift already. Mm. I said, I don't know. I was thinking about camping for 3 days at Firefly Music Festival and I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was like, let me think about it. But the same day that I was asked, I ended up randomly at a beach rave. And I had such a long day. I had one birthday party that I went to and stopped at a DJ on the boardwalk. And like so many things were happening. And I was just, one, I had been drinking. I had been partaking in cannabis. I was like, it was a long night. But it was this magical, mystical, I like the words you use, experience. Where like my night ends here with all these people and there's lights and we're just chilling, and I ended up falling asleep that night kind of face down, not intentionally. I was like laying next to the fire and just, you know, it was a long night and the sun was starting to come up, and there's a picture of me face down on the beach like as the sun's rising. I got rained on. It was a mess. And I woke up and everybody was like, oh, you're ready for Firefly. You're going to be A-okay, Crystal.
That's so awesome.
We lit a fire on the beach and like it was a beautiful time. You really do create an atmosphere where people can just be themselves, which is the point of the show, as I'm learning, is I just want you to come on here and tell me whatever version of yourself you want to be. And you create that at home for us as we all get to come together and just be however it is that shows up. So let's continue about these beach raves, but I thank you for them.
And it's not all just me. Like, we got a squad. I got the best people that want to help. I'm just one person.
Yeah.
And even the people that aren't helping set up or break down, like, showing up is just as important.
Yeah.
Because people could choose to be anywhere, like during our events. And they make a choice to be with us and with everybody else. So it's just as important for people to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like easy to forget that, but it's not a party or it's not a thing unless everybody decides to be there.
Absolutely. And it's something super special. In addition to the beach raves, you also have the New Moon Night Markets. Let's talk about that.
Yes, that is our capitalistic complement to the beach rave. The beach rave is rooted almost in this like burner mentality of radical decommodification and radical inclusion, where, you know, we don't sell anything at the beach rave. And that's by nature of, you know, we're on the beach in this renegade event. But it's also the idea that we shouldn't rely on money to connect to each other. So the night market is essentially the complement to that, where yes, we're like in a community of artists where everyone is trying to make a living with their art, so they have to have some place to sell it or to connect to people, like to get the word out about what they're doing. So at Anchor Rock Club, last year we had it every month. This year we're kind of like slowing it down a bit, but we have 15 to 20 vendors at night in combination with like a DJ or a band. Mm-hmm. And it creates this really cool atmosphere of people being able to showcase their work, offer it up for sale, and just come together for a fun time. And it's been a lot of fun. And it also has a theme. So that is another thing that I've been doing with myself, is creating sets and decorations for the theme of our night markets. So when I talk recently about being an artist, I've added in like set design to that, because I usually do like, I'm making something out of cardboard that like turns into like a paper mache mushroom, or I'm like designing a lab set with like, again, cardboard, like a lot of it is cardboard or trash, or just things that I find because that's what I have access to. But yeah, the night market is very cool, and we'll be doing that still. You know, our next one is May 23rd on Thursday.
Sure.
Follow us at Nootrope to find out about Future Night Markets, and that is N-O-E-T-R-O-P-E.
And I have had the pleasure of attending night markets as well and getting to see my friends who are artists, people I haven't met yet. I bought a fun little cute ashtray at the last one, a heart gold freckled ashtray. Oh, the jacket that I had on and put on when I was in D.C. and everybody was raving over the jacket, that was from the night market, from the Retro Future.
And I know Michelle made your ashtray, I bet, just from describing it.
I believe
it.
So, yeah.
There's so many, like, talented people, and that's one of the coolest things to hear is, like, someone complimenting something that you know you bought from a friend or an artist in Atlantic City, and you get to be like, hey, this is by, like, so-and-so, and you can go, like, check them out.
It's my favorite thing to do. I have my Valfeo hat. I love it. Beach raves and night markets, we kind of got lost in the clown and
lost
you're
in
also,
the sauce.
I think you're also an officiant.
Oh, yes, I'm an ordained minister. That's right.
So many things. So let's get back to that little storyline, if that's okay. And tell me more about how we got here and how you became this.
So one of my best friends was moving to Washington State and they wanted to get married on the way. So I was taking this road trip with them. So I got ordained online, which is very easy to do, surprisingly easy. And we stopped in Glacier National Park, and it was them, a couple of their friends, their moms flew out, and we did this very small, cool little ceremony outside in Glacier. Mm-hmm. And it turns out you don't need to be ordained to officiate a wedding in Montana. But so I had that, and then because you have that, people you know might ask you to officiate. So that was my first one, and then I also officiated the wedding for my cousin and his partner, and then one of my longtime mentors, Kristen Dorado, my media teacher in high school, I officiated her wedding to her partner. And later this year, I'm officiating a wedding for two friends I knew. We all went to the Philippines together, and it was a joke that I officiated their wedding, quote unquote, in the Philippines before they were even dating.
Oh,
like they
wow.
were friends, and there was just like some drunken like bit I was doing where I like officiated their wedding, and now. So many years later, they're like, it's full circle. We have to invite you to officiate the wedding.
I love that. Yeah. And that's connectedness.
It really is.
I love that.
And I get better and better every time. Last time, I almost forgot the ring. The time before that, I forgot to tell everybody to sit down.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
So this one should go pretty well because I don't think there's anything else I can mess up.
So add it to the performance art, if you will. Mm. So you became a clown. You're also a juggler. You also are a character at Boogie Nights. What else? Let's talk about all these things that Tina is.
Yes, Sparkle is a character of Boogie Nights. She is from the disco verse, and she came here to Earth to spread joy and love. She uses a pinwheel and a bubble gun and wears this like really dazzly, jazzy silver suit, and it's just a good time. It's like really, I'm a special character, so I just hype the crowd up.
Yeah, and you're really good at it. I've been there too. I've been front row, like, that's my girl. Go Sparkle.
One of the best jobs. Like, when people are like, wow, that's so cool, I'm like, yeah, it's actually like one of the best jobs.
For listeners, though, can you describe Boogie Nights to us?
Sure. Boogie Nights is a nightclub, dance club in the Tropicana in Atlantic City, and there are 70s, 80s, and 90s. Dance club with this great light up dance floor. So it's kind of a novelty if you've never been there. But disco's back, so there's like young people, old people. Mm-hmm. It's a club for everybody. It's really a very accepting place, and especially because there's no dress code.
Right.
So there's no like air of snobbery or just like, I don't know, some of these other nightclubs you're going in.
You have to be wearing heels. You can't be wearing sneakers. There's all these rules. Yes.
So Boogie Nights is really like an accessible place for people to dance and have fun. So
and really let loose because everybody's there for the same reason, mm-hmm. which is kind of a theme in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember when I first met you. I want to say you were a mermaid when I first met you.
Yeah, that's like along with juggling, you know, people book me for different events and like I'll juggle or I'll do hula hoops or bubbles, like giant bubbles is another thing that I do a lot in town. And I got hired by the Lighthouse and the Sea Goddesses to dress as a mermaid and kind of do all of that at an event. But, you know, half of the event was me dressed as a mermaid and just dancing with kids. I was like, wow, I've found the best. I just get to like look good and dance with and have fun.
And
like,
blow bubbles.
Blow bubbles. I'm like, what's better than this?
I love that. So let's use that as a segue for my big question that I ask everybody. When do you feel like the coolest person in the world?
Really, like, the juggling is cool. Like, performing by myself is cool. But getting to see my friends and the artists, especially music. I love music. I've always loved music. I wouldn't consider myself a musician, but I'm very musical in a lot of ways. And getting to put on events where I get to see some of these great acts really tearing it up or just like bearing their soul, and people are there to witness it, and you can feel the energy in the room. Mm. That's when I feel the coolest. And yeah. It has almost nothing to do with me.
Right.
Like, I may have, like, facilitated that experience, but I'm not the focus. But getting to, like, look around at everybody, experiencing that together.
Yeah.
And for just that time, forgetting about all the other bullshit that's going on. And you, like, remember what the point is of being here.
Yes.
It's just being together and, like, experiencing and making art. So that is when I feel the coolest, because it's just taking responsibility. It's like, I know that that's what we need, and I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that we have that.
I love this. I love this. And what's so cool is I've experienced it. I'm not just interviewing Tina from a place of, tell me what you do. The reason I have such a hard time verbalizing it is because she is this. She lives this. You live nootrope. I wrote a story about you, and the only quote I wrote down was, and it's funny you brought up music, was, music gives people a reason to live, is what you said to me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and it does. It does, and it makes people let loose. And I brought up Firefly, and that I ended up having that experience, and it was probably one of the most nootropic experiences of my life. Somebody has to be the person that says, we need this, and here, what this is what we're going to do to create it. And
well, even more, Crystal, a lot of people can say we need this, and a lot of people do say that. They're like, we need this and we need that. But like, at a certain point, shut the fuck up and do it.
Right.
Like, yeah, we need this stuff, but like, who's going to do it? You can't just be like, hey, somebody needs to do this thing for me. It's like, do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are. And the one thing I left out was you also do sidewalk karaoke pop-ups, which is one of my favorites.
Another, like, example of this weird, like, I mean, if you're in Atlantic City and you're walking like, on the boardwalk or on the street, like, we've done this. I have a really DIY scrappy karaoke setup, and it's essentially my iPad, a karaoke app, and a Bluetooth speaker, right? And popped up outside Irish Pub. Shout out Irish Pub. I popped out outside Tony's Baltimore Grill. Shout out Tony's Baltimore Grill. Cycles of Life on the boardwalk. And we just set up, and it's free. And people walking by are like, what the hell?
I have screamed Alanis Morissette on the sidewalk at a time in my life.
It's just such a bizarre experience. And like, the one thing, oh, and Piccalilli, rest in peace, Piccalilli. When we were doing it outside the pick, it just took one guy. They were in town for like a bachelor party, and he was singing some songs, and he was just like, this made my whole trip.
Oh, I love that. He was traveling.
He's like, this made, like, Atlantic City casinos, you got the boardwalk, you get the beat, me and my little freaking block rocker. He's like, this made my whole trip.
Yes.
And it cost him nothing,
and I'll never forget.
Yeah. And I never forget. And it's been fun to learn how to be a karaoke host, because sometimes people are not always gonna put themselves out there right away. Like, oh, come on, give me a song. What do you want to sing? I'll put it on the queue. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, just, we're out on the sidewalk here. Like, this is not serious.
Right.
But I've learned that, like, you got to read the room a little bit. And if you just start adding stuff to the queue, you're like, okay, I think this is the vibe. And even, like, I would put on a song and I got to start doing it because, like, no dead air, right? You can't have dead air.
Right.
So I start doing it. And then finally, like, you tap into something and someone steps up that wouldn't have requested it, that wouldn't have sung karaoke, but they see me doing it, and they're like, I knew it wasn't for me. But so, like, a few times it's happened where I pick something, I start singing it, and then the person that was really meant to sing this song steps up.
Oh, and I love that.
And they just blow it out of the water. And you can feel it and you can see it, and you're like, this is why I do this.
I love that.
Because this person would have never done karaoke,
right,
especially on the sidewalk. And now we all get to, like, experience this miracle of them sharing themselves with us.
I love this so much. It is such a reflection of you and who you are. And to me, like, we're always mirrors to each other. And I've been saying to a couple of my friends lately, you know, sometimes we forget how magical we actually are until someone who's really, really dope turns around and says, hey, you're pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, this show evolved from a thing that it wasn't a thing. First time I spoke to my podcast producer, I said, nobody's talking me out of calling it the coolest people in the world. But I'm saying that to say that you are someone that said, show me my light again. Say, hey, it's okay. One of my other favorite things was, like, I just let your freak flag fly. Like, just be as weird as you want to be. And if you've met Tina, you might catch her in a cow suit just because. A cow printed jumper. You might catch her. You don't know what you're going to get. She's this probably the most neutral I've seen you.
Oh, yeah. She's pretty relaxed. It's funny because I went to Anchor Rock Club the other night. And I got this, like, great pink fuzzy onesie at Salvation Army the other day. Mm. And I was just feeling like, I just want to be cozy. I want to go out, but I want to feel comfortable. And the only thing that matched the onesie were these like bunny ears. So that was the accessory. So I just wore the suit and the bunny ears. And I walk in and like, my friend's like, what's with the bunny costume? I'm like, oh, this is not a costume.
That's what I chose to wear today.
Yeah, this is not a costume.
That's great, though. But that's so unapologetically cool. And that's the point. And I was explaining that to say, like, when we hold these mirrors to each other and we say, hey, this is what I see in you and this is what I see in you. And then we get to sit together and have these conversations and say, nobody likes my words, so I'll find a new one. But she is spreading joy, like, everywhere, and fun and love, and reminding people, like, hey, it's okay to, like, put the phone down and just be here and have some fun and sing a song. And maybe you can't sing, sing anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't juggle, juggle anyway. Mm-hmm. And I love that about you. So thank you.
Wow. Generally, I feel like the theme of a lot of what I talk about now is exactly what you said, is just being a mirror. Because I think a lot of reason that people like to be in my company or like, I don't know, is just, it's all based in love. So, yeah. And the mirror of you is love.
Right.
So to show people, it's like you, it's okay to be you. I'm going to love you no matter what is like, some people have never experienced that.
Right.
And I was blessed with the experience I've had and the life I've had to be able to show that to people. Mm-hmm. And it's not always like easy, but it's always worth it. So I don't know, just letting people know that they're loved, and it's, you know, it's the only way to really be your best is to be you yourself. Yeah. So,
well, you give me permission to do that more and more. And I love that so much. I'm very thankful. So thank you for being on the show.
Crystal, you are the coolest person in the world. Thank you for having me.
And only because of the I cut my hair off that everybody's like, I mean, that's also kind of cool. You've been listening to the Coolest People in the World podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, comment, tell a friend, and look for a new episode every Thursday.
You've been listening to the Coolest People in the World podcast with Crystal J. Bailey on the new Pod City Podcast Network. Visit us online today at thecoolestpeoplepodcast.com.